see all of you. Let's go ahead and have a seat. It's great to see all of you, especially those who've come here to visit. We're so happy that you can join us. I'm Pastor Howard Shea, and I'm privileged to give the message this morning. We've been going through a series called What is a Healthy Church? And this morning we're going to talk about a healthy church is a witnessing church. And one of my favorite topics is talking about how to share the gospel with people around us, with non-Christian friends, with our colleagues and our neighbors. And so I'm really excited to bring this message to you this morning. And I want to talk to you this morning from one of my favorite passages, and this passage is from Acts chapter 17, verses 16 to 34. I especially like this passage because it's the Apostle Paul talking to the Athenians at the Areopagus, and it's very practical. This passage talks about how we can be able to talk to a secular audience and talk about spiritual matters such as God in a way that is very natural and also very effective. And so, shall we just bow in a word of prayer before we go into God's word? Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you this morning. We can come and worship you. We ask that as we look into your word, that you give us your supernatural insight and understanding. And Lord, just bless this message this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's read this together. Acts chapter 17, verse 13 to 34. Okay, let's read this together. Now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, and some said, what does this babbler wish to say? Others said, he seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him in the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new teaching is that you're presenting? For you bring some strange ideas to our ears, and we wish to know therefore what these things mean. Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he's actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world of righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, we will hear you again about this. So Paul went out from their midst, but some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius, a woman named Demaris, and others with him. Okay, I congratulate you for reading that long passage of scripture. Yeah, really good, really good. You know, I really like this passage because I don't know about you, but when I'm in a party or I'm in some sort of a social gathering and there's a lot of non-believers or people who don't hold to the same beliefs as I do, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel uncomfortable. And I don't know what to talk to people about, and especially if I want to talk about my faith, I mean, how do I get started? So can any of you identify with me about that? You know, you're just feeling out of place, you know, and how do you know even where to start? So how can we be able to share the gospel in a clear and understandable way to people around us? And so today, I'd like to share with you from this passage that we just read. And I just want to tell you, of all the passages in the book of Acts, I find this passage to be especially meaningful and helpful. And I'd like to, in this short time, just unpack some of the main points of how Paul went and shared his belief in the Christian God to a very secular audience. And I hope this will be helpful to you this morning. So there's several, four principles we can follow from Paul's example. And number one is this. First, you have to understand the background of your hearers, and you need to build a connection with them. You need to talk about concepts and terms that they can relate to, and that's what Paul did. Secondly, quote from literature or sources that they can relate to. And it doesn't have to be literature. It could be music, it could be movies, or just something that you have in common with them, and that's what he did. Thirdly, talk about these three topics about God. He talked about God as creator and Lord. He also talked about God as a source of eternal life, as a source of salvation. And then he talked about share from our own experience of how God answered our prayers and changed our lives. Okay? And so the principle number one here, first, we need to understand our audience and use concepts and terms that they can relate to. Okay, now, Paul understood that he was talking to these intellectual Athenians. I don't know about you, but have you ever talked to a group of very intellectual people before? Okay, have you talked to like scientists or, you know, people who are really intellectual? And Paul was talking to these type of people. And what was very interesting was he used what's called contextualization. And basically, he did this, quoted from their own sources, their own ideas, and he used them to talk about God. Okay, so he used quotations, not from scripture, but he used quotations from the Greek poets. For example, Epimenides, he quoted from this. He said, "For in him we live and move and have our being." And what was interesting about this quote was it's talking about Zeus, the Greek god Zeus. But Paul used it to apply to the true God, which is Jehovah God. And then also, Herodotus wrote, "For we are indeed his offspring." And he wrote that in 300 BC. And Paul also quoted from that. And so one of the things we see that Paul did was he knew his audience, and then he quoted from sources that they could relate to. And he used it to bring a very important point. Now, I want you to just give you a little background about his audience. There are the Epicureans and the Stoics. And the Epicureans, they believe that God exists, but God was very detached. He did not involve himself in human affairs. And so the world existed because of chance. And so because God is detached, the Epicureans thought we should just pursue pleasure and try to minimize suffering in our life. Now, the other group of people in this audience were Stoics. And they believe that the supreme God is everywhere and everything, that the world is determined by fate, and so you have to live by reason and fulfill your purpose through duty and self-discipline. So he was talking to two different groups of people. Now, I want you to notice that in the next passage here, the orange didn't show up very good, but I'll read that to you. But I want you to notice, as we read this, that he quoted from these Greek poets as he was making his points about God. Should we read this passage together? It says this, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries at their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination by man. And then he goes on to the next point about the judgment. He says this, let's read that together. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed the day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now, one of the things I really appreciate about Paul was the first thing he talked about was the existence of God. So when we're talking to our non-Christian friends or colleagues, if we want to talk about God, first we have to talk about the existence of God, and in a way that the hearers can understand. And so that's what he started talking about. Notice in verse 24 and 25, he said, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and on earth, he does not dwell in temples made with human hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And so the thing that Paul started about is talking about God as the creator and Lord. And I remember when I was talking to some non-Christian friends and colleagues or people from Amazon.com, years ago, for fun, I just did some book reviews about, you know, atheism, and I got into these lengthy discussions with very angry atheists. And so it was very interesting discussions. But one of the things that, one of my favorite books is this book by Anthony Flew called There Is a God. Anybody know who Anthony Flew is? Okay, some of you do. Okay, Anthony Flew is one of the founding fathers of atheism. And what was so amazing was in 2004, after 50 years of being an atheist, he debated with Christian debaters. Then in 2004, he changed his mind. Basically, he began to see that the universe was designed. There was an architect of the universe. And it was really amazing. I need to tell you how he got to conclude this. I'd like to read you a couple excerpts from this book. And basically, one of the things that really helped him to change his mind was he saw that there were laws of nature. And so if there is laws governing nature, then there got to be someone who was an architect of those laws. Okay. And also, another thing that really impacted him was the Big Bang Theory. The Big Bang Theory, he began to see the universe didn't always exist, but there was a singular point in time when there was a beginning. Okay, and then also, he wondered about life seemed to appear suddenly during the Cambrian explosion, and then he also saw that as human beings were living, conscious, and thinking human beings, if we're living, conscious, living human beings, then we must also come of source with this conscious and living and a super designer of the universe. So basically, he came to a conclusion that there is a designer of the universe. And this book won the 2004 Christianity Today Book Award. And I would highly recommend you read this book. And so this is the book that I use a lot when I talk to people. Like, I remember one time I was in a dinner party, and we were introducing ourselves, and I was talking to this atheist, and I said, oh yeah, I'm a pastor and I serve in a Christian church. And so this atheist, we'll call him Bill. Bill said, oh, you're a pastor, eh? Let me ask you this question. How can you believe in a God that doesn't exist? I mean, isn't he a figment of your imagination? Okay, and so I just happened to be reading this book, you know, and I said, well, you know, it's interesting that you asked me that, because I was just reading this book called There Is a God by Anthony Flew. Do you remember Anthony Flew? You know, you should know him, because he's one of the founding fathers of atheism. Did you realize that he came to the conclusion after 50 years that there's a designer of the universe? can I tell you why? Yeah. And I said, yeah, he believed that there was a first cause because someone had needed to be the source of all the natural laws that govern in the universe. And also the Big Bang Theory shows that there's a first cause and, you know, just a second law of thermodynamics and so on and so forth. I mentioned all these different things. And then he was pretty astounded. He said, oh, that's really great. I'm glad that you read that. And then end of discussion. Okay, so what was interesting was, you know, he was probably expecting me to say, well, you know, I believe in everything because of faith and things like that. But no, it was basically quoting from this. Okay, and it made for a very good discussion with the other person. So if you use sources that the other person can relate to, then you can have an intelligent conversation. And later on, one of Bill's friends, which is Larry, I'll talk about him later, I had an opportunity to talk to him more about who God is and who Jesus is due to that conversation in the dinner party. So use books that your colleagues would understand and can be able to relate to. Now, another thing is for those of you who love music, we can use popular songs to talk about spiritual concepts. I don't know if you know this, but I'm a big fan of 60s, 70s, and 80s music. Some of my favorite songs when talking to people would be this, Kansas, Dust in the Wind. Okay, I learned how to play some of it on the guitar, you know, and so that's why I like this song so much. And this song is talking about the emptiness of life, talking about everything is just dust in the wind. Okay, and it reminds us of the book of Ecclesiastes. And then I'm a Beatle fan, so I really like Here Comes the Sun. And I change S-U-N to S-O-N. You know, here comes the sun. Okay? And I like to play this one clip, Here Comes the Sun by the Fab Four. He's one of the best tribute bands. And I hope you like this clip.
Here comes the sun, do do do. Here comes the sun, and I say it's all right. Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun. And I say, it's all right.
How many of you like that? Did you think they did a pretty good job? Okay, they're really well known for spot on, renditions of those songs. But, you know, I play that song, and whenever I play that song with a friend, you know, I say, hey, have you ever thought about that song, what it means? Here Comes the Son. Oh, I never thought about it. Well, I like to think about Here Comes the Son of God. And, you know, he brings enlightenment and brings light and salvation to us. And so, you know, it's just things like that. So we can use popular music to talk about spiritual things as well. And then we also can use movies to talk to people. Now, we've been having a lot of superhero movies lately. And, like, I need to get your participation about something. How is Superman a Christ figure? How is he similar to the Lord Jesus Christ? So I want you to turn to your neighbor and think about that for a minute. Is there any similarities between Superman and Jesus? Okay. Okay, I wanted to offer you my little explanation. Okay, Superman is the only son sent from his father from the distant planet Kolob. And Superman uses his superhuman powers to help humans. On Earth, he walks in the form of the ordinary reporter Clark Kent. And Superman uses his powers to save people from destruction from the evil Lex Luthor. Okay, do you see there's a little bit of similarity between Superman and Jesus, okay? Superman is a Christ figure. And there's a movie that just came out recently in the theaters called Ben-Hur. Ben-Hur is a movie about Christ. And Judah Ben-Hur is a Jewish nobleman, and he was friends with this Roman person named Messala. And through a misunderstanding, you know, he was sent to the galleys and also in prison, and also he had to go through a tough time. But God was watching out for him, and he meets Jesus at a certain point in time. And then later on, Christ reveals to himself to Ben-Hur in many different forms. And also he experiences the protection and providence of God. And so here's a clip from the 1959 movie, Ben-Hur. I really like this clip. It's called The Water of Life. And this is a clip that shows the Lord Jesus Christ revealing himself to Ben-Hur. So let's take a look at this clip.
Water for the soldiers! Soldiers first!
Water!
Get away from that well! No water for them! Get them away from that well! Fellow, you! Come on, you! Water for the horses!
Ben Hur has been led to captivity.
Soldiers first!
Christ comes to minister.
Him. You! I said no water for him!
How many of you ever seen that movie before? Ben-Hur? Okay, it's in the movie theaters. You can see the new version. But this is the classic version here in 1959. And this won like 11 Academy Awards, including the Best Picture and Best Actor. And what is really amazing in this Ben-Hur movie, it shows the love and power of the Lord Jesus Christ and also his sovereignty. And did you notice, this the imagery in that clip, the water of life. And what I thought was very interesting was in that clip, when Jesus is giving him water, he touches his hand like this. Have you ever seen Michelangelo's painting, The Creation of Man? Notice God the Father is touching, Adam this way. So in Michelangelo's picture, God the Father is creating Adam. And here, the movie maker is trying to show that Christ is giving him new life. So it's kind of very interesting imagery. But I'd like to highly recommend you, if you have some friends, you can go watch the new Ben-Hur, because it talks about Christ. It talks about a man who's an unbeliever, but he discovers the Lord Jesus Christ and receives the gift of salvation. So those are some examples I just wanted to show you about how we can be able to use movies as a way to talk about spiritual things. I'd like to share with you my further conversations with my friend Larry, which I talked about. Now, when I talked to him first, we talked about how there is a supreme creator who created the universe. And then also, I share with him about how God can change our lives. And I had an opportunity to pray for Larry, and God answered my prayers for him. And finally, he got to know more about Jesus Christ as he started to read the Bible, as he started to go to a church. And now he believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in his life. And it all began due to a little conversation that I had with him at a dinner party, talking about my belief that God exists. So you never know, what happens when you talk to a coworker or a friend or a neighbor. God can use your conversation in a bigger way to draw and, open that person's heart to more encounters with God. So I just wanted to share that with you, that you can be used by God to be an effective witness and use the example of the Apostle Paul. So this morning, I'd just like to conclude by just asking you a question, and that is, are you willing to be used by God as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I'd like for you to close your eyes for this moment. This passage I just shared with you this morning about Paul talking before the Athenians, you can be like the Apostle Paul too. And God can use your experiences, God can use your personality and your gifts to be an avenue to introduce others to Christ. And I'm wondering if there's any of you this morning listening to this message that you would like to respond to the Lord and you want to ask God to help you to become an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do, I'd like you to raise your hand or in response. Would you like to learn how to be an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? And I'd like to just encourage you that through experience and also through just praying to the Lord and taking advantage of opportunities, you can be just like the Apostle Paul. And this morning, I wanted to just share with you briefly, in summary, what you can do. You can use concepts and terms that your hearers can relate to, quote from sources that they're familiar with, talk about God as Creator, Lord, and Savior, and then share from your own personal experience how God is real in your life and how He can change your life. And so I'd like to close our time right now in a word of prayer. So I'd like to ask the worship team to come up at this time, and also the prayer intercessors. So with our heads bowed this morning, there might be some of you this morning that you might be going through a difficult time in your life. And as you're listening to this message, you might be wondering, well, I want to know if God is really real, and you know, I just really need help in my life. And so if that's you, I'd like to just encourage you as the worship team comes and sings that you come up forward, and we have prayer intercessors here. We'll be willing to pray for you. Also, another thing is that there might be some of you, through this message, you might be thinking about a relative, a neighbor, a friend of yours, and you really want to share the gospel with them or share with them about Christ, but you don't know how to do it, and you're concerned for your salvation. I'd like to encourage you also to come on up, and then we can pray for you. We'll pray for opportunities for God to give you so that you can be a witness. And then if you have any other needs, you just, you know, need prayer for anything else, for your work, for your school, or for some situation in your life, I'd like you also to ask you to come on up at this time. So I'd like to close in a word of prayer, and then just ask the worship team to lead us in a few songs. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to praise you and thank you that you've called us to be your witnesses. And Lord, thank you that you can use us just as you used the Apostle Paul. So I pray that you would just fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit. Just help us to connect with our non-Christian friends, family members, and co-workers. And help us to talk about spiritual things through using things that they can relate to. And be able to use us as your witnesses so that we can be able to lead others into salvation, Lord. Just like you led my friend Larry into your kingdom through the conversations that we had. I pray this in Jesus' name.